This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Levante fe y brilla, feliz Cinco de Mayo. Me amo Squidbilly. L.S. Miguel. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson, because he's an All-American, a national champion, former Atlanta Falcon. And she's the first lady of baseball, because I don't have to say that in Spanish. Miss Allie Mack, and this is The Morning Shift.
Well done, my friend.
Yeah, I kind of screwed up the Levante, the first part.
Did you have to ask your squad at Cancun last night or over the weekend?
Levante. No, I Googled it.
Okay, there you go.
I did see Ricky at Cancun. I watched the Derby at Cancun's Saturday.
Attaboy.
We went up there, had a TV right in front of us, and watched the my horse come in like 11th, and you got to be a mutter to win a race like that.
Yeah. It was, man. It was an action-packed weekend in terms of sports. But yeah, I enjoyed the Derby. I got we're gonna get to that in front page as well, dude. It was fun. Let's see. That's Pork Chop's what, second appearance at Cancun?
Yeah, she's a regular now.
There you go.
She did pretty good. I had to push my plate aside and make sure she got fed, but it's all good. I mean, I'm okay with that. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Did you have the Squidbilly special, Bo?
No.
What was the margarita count?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, we had three people, and the count was six. So
wait, is this Pork Chop one of the three?
No.
Oh, okay.
My neighbor. Yo,
trying to tamp those numbers down.
I mean, look, if we say that she had one, it means Amy and I can sink an extra one in.
Exactly.
Right?
That's my point. I was like, man, trying to knock those numbers down, man. We all see right through that. Does Pork Chop have her name on her own stool just yet to be able to belly up?
Not yet.
Okay.
We've been sitting in the restaurant side, but she definitely has she gets the VIP treatment already. Ricky at Cancun's already is like, you know, immediately every time he sees her, he comes right over and wants to make sure everything's taken care of. So she's getting the treatment. She got the TV changed to the Derby. So everything's on her time.
I have a feeling like that her first, like, actual food will come at Cancun. You know, like, you'll get, I don't know, I don't even remember how far it is.
Refried
in childhood,
beans.
And then you're like, here's some rice.
Yeah, queso.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, here you go. Just make sure you don't get a jalapeno locked into that queso.
That would be awful.
We normally get those when we do the queso. We get them on the side because it's normally like, you know, four, five, six people sharing it. And they don't, you know, you never know. You got to worry about everybody's feelings these days. So.
Real quick, that made me think of a very quick question as far as what Pork Chop's first sip of soda is going to be. Is it going to be Mountain Dew, Bo? Are you going to make sure it's Mountain Dew?
No, there's not a lot of soda in my house it's not soda, it's Coke. A soft drink, and there's not a lot in my house, so it would probably come like be Diet Coke or ginger ale because
ginger ale's a good one.
That's what Amy has. And Mike can probably relate to this. I buy a Mountain Dew specifically to drink just one. Like I don't buy
no 12 packs.
You're not buying a 2 liter or anything like that.
No, that's how you. That's how you get bloated.
That's how it becomes an issue. I will say, like, my son's, he's going on 5 here in a couple months. He's never had a soda, and I probably won't let him have one anytime soon. He tried like a Waterloo, like a what do you call that? Like a carbonated beverage, and he was like, yeah. It's spicy. I was
Yeah.
I was like, man, you're good. I was like, you're good. Don't worry about it. You don't want these problems until you need these problems. Okay, put that down.
Allie, it's kind of a. I have two things, but the first thing, now that Mike said that about the spicy and carbonated, Did you ever hear the old radio wise tale that you never drink like a carbonated drink before a broadcast?
Yes, and I still follow that. Is that not legit?
No, I don't drink carbonated drinks really at all anyways, but so I try not to unless it's really a rough morning, but I've just always heard that, and I've seen play-by-play guys do and don't abide by that. So
I've always heard the best thing to eat before a broadcast is a green apple.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why is it?
I know. We should all try it tomorrow
and see what happens. Go scout out some green apples.
I'm a faster.
Wait, so why should you not drink a carbonated beverage? Because it makes you belch?
And it makes you belch. I think it also kind of damage your – not damage, but kind of messes up your vocal cords a little bit.
Oh,
or creamer in your coffee will make you salivate. That's not good either.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm
yeah, see, I'm us radio pros.
8 years old.
us real radio pros, us real radio people like Allie and myself.
Hey, Mike, you know what they are? You know what they sound like right now? Radio gurus.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Put it back in the opening. You know what I mean? A guru.
Mike, how's the hammy?
It's a quad. Quad's an issue. I'm not going to lie to y'all, man. And I appreciate you asking. And you did follow up. Bo did follow up me Friday after the Atlanta United media match and kind of asked how I was holding up. There were inner injuries. Look, I gave it everything I had. Right? I will say, and I told Allie this as we were getting on the elevator this morning, I'm still sore, dude. Like, we're 3 days removed, and I still am like, golly, I'm like waddling around. Groins are tight. But it was a lot of fun, man. We had a good time out there. And I just, you know what, man, some of the lateral movement, fast twitch muscles, just not quite up to par to what they used to be. But
were
it was a good time.
Were you on Abe's team?
Yes, I was on Abe's team.
So disappointing.
Well, and my question to you this morning was, because you had talked all last week about wanting to play goalie.
Yeah.
And then I heard rumblings that that didn't happen.
Yeah, and we'll get into this later, but Abe comes out there, and the first thing he says is, oh, man, my calf. Like, I mean, before the game even started, he's like, my calf. I was like, here we go. I was like, dude, you can't make this your Super Bowl and then talk about pulling your calf. And he's like, yep, it's going to go any minute now. I'm going to go get my gloves. And he just ran into the locker room, the bathroom, and got his gloves and came back and played goalie the entire game.
Who made him the team captain, coach?
Honestly, nobody. It was just – like, and he was a really good goalie, actually. And I wish he would have been the team captain coach, because there were a couple people that stepped in that role that didn't need to be in that role. And mismanagement was definitely the reason we lost on Friday. But that's another story for another time. It was, you know, the people that were selected to take our PKs and, you know, the guys that were playing striker throughout the game is like, dude, what are we doing? You know what I mean? You've been serviced like the most phenomenal balls throughout this game. And we can't even make contact with these things. You know what I mean? So it was an uphill climb.
I'll say this one thing real quick about the match. I think Rachel Burmeister was her name. She put on a heck of a move.
Yeah.
I was like, first goal or first or second goal
it was.
She was a dog. I mean, she was nice.
She was a dog. What's her outlet? Either of y'all know? I don't know where she's from, Rachel.
It's the Atlanta News First thing.
Is that where she's at? She's A&F. She was good.
She was real good. Real good.
Yeah, there was a number. Honestly, there was a bunch of people out there that I was like, there was a couple people that I was not sure if they were assistant coaches or members of the media. I was like, this guy's way too good.
Oh, really?
You
know
what I mean? And then you get to the end. We got to the penalty shootout, and they wouldn't let assistant coaches participate. Even though they were on team, they're like, no assistant coaches in the penalty shootout. We're going to do all media members. And some of the guys for the other team that stepped up the ball, I was like, what? I was like, wait a minute, wait, you're a media member? Like, what have you been doing? Like, golly. You came straight out of freaking Atlanta United 2, I guess. I was like, man, this is crazy.
I think some people bring their interns, you know, because they're young and they're just out of college. They still play. It's all fresh. There's not, a guy who fakes a calf injury because he you know, maybe he's not feeling his best. Or a guy that is legitimately has, you know, injury concerns.
Yeah. I will say, man, and like I said, I'll get into this later. Abe was a little bit over the top, but he backed it up. He was impressive in a number of different avenues.
That's the problem for me is I know he can play. I know he can play, and he's gonna be over the top. But I feel like he's the guy that goes out there and, oh yeah, man, I'm not feeling it today. I got an injury, and then so he can outperform what he says.
Downplays his role.
Yes, absolutely. Because I heard him on Deuce and Bell. He was, he was yapping. He was calling out other players on the team. Yeah, my team wish they gave effort. I was like, God.
He was talking about people needing to get in shape for next year's game already. So
yeah, I felt targeted, man.
Targeted. He decided to be a vocal point. Like, hey, I'm gonna focus on the fact that my team didn't try 100%. A few of us did.
At the end of the game, it was like 17-18 on the field. Like, you know, like it wasn't that big a deal. And what's funny is like the communication that he texted me afterwards because he knew what I was thinking. He was like, "Did you think my communication was a little bit over top? Were you a little bit shocked at how much I communicated out of the back of the goal?" I was like, "I think we all were, Abe. Like, I think that was the takeaway for most people." Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You host a week with Abe, and your ears are ringing by the end of the week because you can't get your volume fixed because he's so. I mean, I know my voice is loud. Abe is just screaming when he says he's talking, and I don't think he realizes it. But anyways, he's our guy. Real quick, before we get out of here, it was not a great weekend for the Braves. They were out. They were able to, as Grant McCauley put out there, that had never been swept in a season series in like 136 years with the Dodgers, and they, thanks to Bryce Elder and Austin Riley, they were able to salvage that last night with a 4-3 win. Bryce Elder, third straight start where he was pretty freaking good. His last three starts, he's given you 23 innings with only six earned runs in those starts, 12 Ks. His walk number is still too high, but he's 2-0 in that span. And not bad for a fifth starter. Another bad night for the he's unplayable and not a major league player crowd, but Austin Riley is also the story. He had four RBIs last night, all four on two home runs.
Yeah. I agree. Austin Riley, obviously, massive night last night. I don't know, and I got to tell you, I don't see much Elder hate, especially on a night like last night. And I know you've seen it prior to that, and he's made a couple of good starts in a row. I don't see it much, and I really have enjoyed him kind of coming back to where he was a couple of years ago when he was an all-star. But nonetheless, I thought last night, I don't want to put too much on one game, but after you lose the first two to the Dodgers, seeing the Braves come around last night and pull it off, even though it got really, really tight there in the ninth inning with Hyesung Kim on third base, it got tight. But I mean, it was a massive win for a number of different reasons. You just cannot go through the season losing every single game to the Dodgers and thinking you're going to make some kind of run when playoff time comes around. So
I think what bugs me, and I feel like it's the worst with the Braves, and maybe because they play so many games, but every decision is, you know, Elder's only thrown like 78 pitches or something like that, and he comes out in the sixth, and he allows a hit and I think a walk or something, and people are like, never should have came out, never should have let him back out, because third time through the lineup, and I go, okay, but what if they pull him, and then if they pull him and the guy, whoever comes in and gives up a two-run homer, they're like, I don't know why they pulled Elder. He was rolling, right? So there's that. Then they pull Pierce Johnson, who was pitched. I think he was had already gotten maybe three or four outs, and they pull him, and then the immediate home run is given up by Dylan Lee, and people are like, I don't know why they pulled Pierce Johnson. He was rolling. And so it just drives, and it's the same thing with Elder. You just see it, and it has – calm down. Like last night, there was really nobody because he got off to a red hot start. I think only the second time ever that 1-2-3 order the Dodgers had struck out in one inning. So that's what bothers me with it, is it's so much second guessing constantly. It just is it's too much for me. Like, let it play out, man.
Yeah, I can sense your frustration through the Twitters last night, my friend. We do have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to hit the front page. And here's your 30 for 30. What if I told you Buddy Hield had 22 before Steph dropped one? Did the Warriors win? We'll see. Allie's going to hit it for us on the other side. Coming up on the front page, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Happy Cinco de Mayo. You guys know the vibes. That a boy, Dylan, with the assist to Allie Mack coming in with the tunes, baby. You know what I mean? Dylan on the ones and twos. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Allie Mack hanging out with you once again here on this Monday morning. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. There was a situation yesterday, and I always find it endearing to know, you know, how you knew they were the one. And yesterday I was pulled up my phone and I was going to say something about, because obviously Cinco de Mayo today, yesterday was Star Wars Day. And somebody said something about it being Star Wars Day yesterday. I actually have friends that have an anniversary, that was yesterday. I always think about it. And I pick it up, and the first message I see when I pick up my phone is like, happy birthday, Allie.
Uh-huh.
Like, so your birthday was yesterday.
It was.
And I thought, like, the immediate first reaction I had was, well, that worked out for Grant. Like, as the resident Star Wars guy, to marry a girl whose birthday is on Star Wars Day, I was like, dude, that he couldn't have hit more of a home run with that.
I swear, he found out that my birthday was Star Wars Day and was like, this is a sign.
Yeah.
That is my dream girl.
This is my unicorn. Like, this
and
is my
vice
unicorn.
Versa. I mean, his last name is McCauley. I'm like, I'm
there
Allie
you
Mack.
Go.
I don't have to rebrand.
That's a great
so
point.
This is great.
It's a phenomenal point, man. I don't know.
I don't have to rebrand. That's so on point for this industry. I don't have to rebrand.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is funny, though, man, because I was like, I was thinking to myself, when we were talking about that earlier, I was thinking to myself, man, did I, like, was there a point in time where I knew that Lindsay was the one for me?
Yeah.
And absolutely there was. Like, we went, I was, I don't even know how long ago, 7-8 years ago before we got married, I wanted to go on a trip to a NASCAR race up in Virginia. And the only place I had for us to stay was in a truck bed tent with a blow-up air mattress.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I'm so down. And I was like, oh, man, that's so awesome
that's
she's willing to do that. Now, if I asked her to do that right now, she'd be like, absolutely not. She'd be like, dude, we're almost 40. Like, times have changed.
Fair.
But back then, I was like, man, this is how I know this is the one. So I'm sure that Grant definitely had that moment on the Star Wars day. You know what I mean? I love that, man.
Very easy to remember.
Yeah, easy to remember. Bo, did you have a moment like that with Amy? Like,
I took her to Talladega before we were dating. We were just kind of friends. It was kind of that weird stage. And we went to Talladega.
Talladega, baby.
And she handled herself very well. I mean, it was just a day trip. It wasn't some weird pop-up camper thing.
Oh, man.
We had a blast. Yeah, so then – and it was funny because we got – so tomorrow is our anniversary. So today is my radioversary.
Wait. Hang on. Whoa. We had a long conversation the other day about Mother's Day and push presents. You didn't throw in the fact that your anniversary was on May 6th.
Yeah, so Allie can maybe not remember this or test this, but the first day I ever stepped in a radio station to work as an intern was May 5th, 2008. So today is my radio anniversary. Tomorrow is my wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And
now you got a lot of presents to buy, buddy.
That's three now.
We got married on May the 6th, 2017. The next day was May the 7th, which was also the spring Talladega race.
Breaking news.
And we got up that morning, drove to our condo in Buckhead, jumped in her best friend from growing up's now husband, but boyfriend at the time's truck, and we all rode to Talladega.
Attaboy.
And watched Talladega. That was like our day after, and partied, and then came home and went to Jamaica the next morning.
Attaboy. Well, look, there's probably some NBA basketball teams that are headed to Jamaica today. Let's hit the front page. Real quick, Kentucky Derby rolled on in a muddy onslaught on Saturday at about 7 o'clock Eastern time. For those of you all that watched it, you watched Sovereignty at 7-1 odds beat out Journalism right
Journalism.
There. Journalism? Yeah, attaboy, I missed it. Anyways, I know there was a lot of jokes going on in the socials about the two names of those horses. Nonetheless, man, Sovereignty running a nice outside line and taking over right there at the end of the race. Fun race. I always love the Derby every single year. I don't know about you guys, but it is appointment television.
Well,
for me.
The best viewing this year was because it was raining.
Yes.
So all the women had to protect their hats. So
yes.
There were all these trash bags around their beautiful,
ponchos,
beautiful designer
tied
hats.
Up. Yes, I love it, man. Did you put any money on a pony for Pork Chop?
Yeah, and I lost because I got a bad draw thanks to the person that did the draw.
Ah.
I love the Derby too, and it's funny because you'll watch like the Preakness and then the Belmont, you're just like or whatever, whichever one is the second one. You know, oh man, I just like went blank because I had something else I was to say. I had something in there, but I'm a big Derby fan, and I don't even know what I was saying. So yeah whatever. Next story.
NBA was on full display this weekend, Allie.
Yep, the Denver Nuggets will advance after beating the Clippers Saturday, 120-101. Pretty much a blowout, and at one point we're leading by 35, and they're going to take on the Thunder at home tonight at 9:30.
It's going to be a fun series, I hope, because I think the Nuggets have one of the best rosters as far as their starting five. But James Harden did what James Harden does, and that's a disappearing act in elimination games. 7 points. He was, what, 2 of 8? He only shot the ball 8 times, which was bad. James Harden is the worst clutch player in the history of the NBA.
Wow.
That's my thing. Is how do you only take 8 shots in a Game 7, and you are right behind Kawhi Leonard, maybe even a little bit before Kawhi Leonard as far as shot-making goes? You're the best player on that team as far as shot-making goes. So why are you only taking 8 shots in a game where you knew your team needed a boost because the Clippers got down pretty quickly, and it was starting to go downhill pretty quickly. So I just don't understand why James Harden wasn't so aggressive. And, yes, he was a facilitator. Yes, he had 13 assists. But at some point, you got to be like, all right, you know what? Blank this. My team needs me to put the ball in the bucket. I'm going to go do that because I'm really good at doing that. So James Harden, just his lack of aggressiveness to me was the most surprising thing about his performance.
Well, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors won Game 7, 103-89 over the Houston Rockets, making it a 4-3 series win, and they're going to go on to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, Buddy Hield led the way with 33 points. Steph Curry, 22, and Jimmy Butler, who, Mike, I believe you say doesn't deserve a ring if they win, 20 points.
I never said that.
Yeah.
Okay, don't you put words in my mouth.
You kind of did.
I never said that.
You kind of
no,
did.
No, Allie, you're
I just
Allie,
said
right.
He's not this banner athlete of, like, thank God he
yes,
got a
he
ring
is.
Finally.
He has changed that team's trajectory. He absolutely, the guy was almost had a triple-double in a closeout game. But, hey, man, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, not a complete polar opposite of what James Harden is. But you're right, Mike. He doesn't deserve anything.
Whatever.
I wanted the Rockets to win, actually, this series. I'm just sick of the Warriors being there. I do hope, though, that I still do have that little bit of part of me that wants to see Jimmy get that ring that he deserves for his career and for what he's done for this team.
All that he's been through. Anyways. All right. Yeah, I it's fine. I'm fine. If he wins a ring, great. He definitely deserved the ring. He's just not some marquee player that, you know, is not joining a freaking dynasty out in San Francisco, and we're acting like,
not,
oh, thank God he's able to climb to the top.
Not,
this is not
the
LeBron
dynasty,
going back to Cleveland.
The dynasty
dude.
Is kind of over, man. It's kind of
exactly.
been over.
This is not LeBron going back to Cleveland, where we're like, oh, man, he pulled that squad up. Like,
no, it's more like LeBron going to Miami.
When he joined the Warriors, I think the Warriors still might have been like either right at 500 or under 500 when he joined the Warriors. He completely transformed that team. And so, yes,
I'm
if he gets a ring,
they're –
It kind of sounds like you are, though.
All right, whatever. Keep going. Let's go.
Well, speaking of the dynasty of the Cavs, Pacers took down the Cavs 121-112 in game one of the series. Pacers made 19 three-pointers during this game. That is the second most in a playoff game in franchise history. And Tyrese Halliburton finished with 22 points, 13 assists, and 0 dads storming the court at the end of the game.
Yeah, his dad is no longer on the premises of NBA games at the moment. Look, this is what happens when you shoot 53% from the floor overall, not to mention what Allie's told you about how good they were from three-point land. You know, I saw people saying that they stole game one. No, they outplayed their asses. And this is going to be a good series, I think, because Cleveland will not go quietly.
And the reason they got outplayed, to your point, Bo, is because the Pacers, no pun intended, made the Cavs play at their pace. They played so much faster, and they were able to speed the Cavaliers up. The Cavaliers want to make it a half-court game. With their 10 Twin Towers and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, they want to slow the game down, get the ball to them, let Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, who will at some point be back. I know he missed game one last night. But at some point, they want to let those two go off the dribble, create isolation, drive and kick out to their three-point shooters, and then get the ball inside to Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. But instead, the Pacers made them speed up, run at their pace, and the Pacers were able to go out, get a whole bunch of fast break points, play fast, and you could tell that really messed up the Cavs last night. Mm.
Fun playoffs so far, obviously, and tonight you'll get Knicks facing off with the Celtics in their game one. That'll be at 7 o'clock on TNT. You also get the Nuggets facing off with the Thunder just 48 hours after they were able to knock off, obviously, the Clippers in that series. That'll be 9:30 at TNT and the nightcap tonight. We're going to roll on here on the morning shift. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Iowa State stuff that broke over the weekend in college football and college athletics in general. Allie's also going to let y'all know where the tequila's flowing later on today, man. Make sure y'all stick with us here on the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know Dylan didn't pick this one out. Like, nope. There is no doubt in my mind that Allie's the one that brought this to Dylan's attention. So I don't even want Dylan to.
Actually, I drew. Go ahead, Bo.
Where's the Mexican hat dance and stuff? Like
they're coming. We got a long show, Bo.
I was going to say.
We got a long show.
There's a lot.
We got outs. We got all kinds of bumpers coming up, man. I do want to talk a little bit about the Iowa State stuff coming up in a minute. Fun conversation so far about how Allie's birthday was yesterday, and Grant, Grant being the Star Wars fan that he is, like, yeah, it's my unicorn. This is my dream girl. And I always love to hear from. So if you have a story about how you knew your spouse was the one, hit us up at 929 Morning Shift. We'd love to hear that, man. We'll get some of those out on the airwaves over the course of the next couple of hours. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on your way in. Happy Cinco de Mayo. We'll get Allie's list here in just a second of best margaritas in town, which I've been told she's a little bit of a connoisseur. I told her she had to come with the Thunder or else Steak Shapiro would be in here just you know, beating the door down, which I'm sure he's compiled his own list. So we'll
see. I've already disagreed with her little list.
Uh-oh.
Her little list.
Yeah,
I love
dude.
It.
He's it's demeaning, right?
I scheduled that tweet too early, didn't I? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Until I met Allie or I hung out with Allie like 2 weeks ago, I did not know a scheduled tweet was even a thing.
Well, you know.
So that just shows you how good I am.
You also were in this business. You worked with two people who one is an impulse tweeter. Hi. And the other was a hater of Twitter. So,
I mean,
to have someone that embraces the full impact and reach of it is kind of rare for you.
I love it. Iowa State story in 2 seconds. I do want to highlight the fact, Bo, yesterday that Joey Logano, friend of the show, friend of the morning shift, Joey Logano won yesterday at Texas. And if you haven't followed this, and I know Steakhouse talked about it a little bit, Joey Logano last week at Talladega, like, climbed all over his teammate, Austin Cendrick, who won. He got tweeted at by Chipper Jones, also friend of the show, Chipper Jones, at some point. And Chipper Jones was irate with Joey Logano, and Joey Logano has been dealing with questions all week. He ends up getting disqualified throughout after the race last week at Talladega. He wins at Texas Motor Speedway yesterday. Chipper Jones has let out a tweet that's like, "Congrats to Joey Logano. That's what you should have been doing all along."
Yeah. First off, Chipper Jones is my favorite baseball player of all time.
Same.
And I have gotten I've been lucky to work around him and with him in some ways in this business. And I like the human being that I've been around. This is where sports don't – this is what's hard for me because I didn't – I understood what he was saying, but he was wrong. Because being a teammate with Austin Cendrick the way Joey Logano is not the same as standing next to – Jeff Blauser in the infield, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not the same because in the end of the day, the only person Joey Logano really owes anything to are the guys on his crew, pit crew.
Yeah. And also, it's three-time NASCAR champion Joey Logano, too. He's not just a, you know, scrub.
Yeah. But I thought it was cool what Chipper did yesterday after Logano should not have won. Blaney should have won. But that wasn't Logano's fault. Logano did what he had to do. He won the race, and it was very fair. But, you know, I like Chipper reach out. That's what you should always be doing.
Yeah, I love it, man.
It's like, yeah, man, like, I don't know. And nobody hates a 22 car worse than I do.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see that back and forth. All right, let's do a little bit of this Iowa State story. And for those of y'all that have not seen it, there were five current or former Iowa State football staff members that were, disciplined over the weekend, 6,200. Check this out, 6,200 online bets totaling more than $100,000 on professional and college games. Now, Iowa State staffers, guys, this is not, the quarterback coach. Like, equipment managers, right. Medical staff, things like that. There's been a big deal made about this, Bo, over the weekend, about, oh, man, it's just another black guy in the NCAA. Like, is it? Like, I honestly found it being a hard time. And I thought that over the last year we would have many more stories like this. I had a hard time really getting angry about this. It's like, you know, there's one guy that's a little bit egregious. And I get it, man. You don't want these things to happen. But I wasn't outraged in any way.
No. It's a problem. In sports, it's been a problem for a long time in sports. Honestly, this isn't just something that just popped up. My favorite part of the article that I read was that something where it was like, you know, they're worried that this could hurt. The NCAA is worried about the effect it could have on the collegiate model and the integrity of it.
Yeah,
like,
what is the model?
Yeah, and where's the integrity? You got a guy, hold on. in the middle of spring practice who decides he's in a contract dispute with his team where he already has a contract and just ups and leaves. And then his brother, who's at a different school, who just took money from said school, decides he's going to leave too. And now the school collective is suing that player for the money that he just upped and took. So save me your integrity lines, okay?
Yeah. I'm not sure why the NCAA is lying to itself and lying to everybody else when they think there's some kind of integrity involved. Now, granted, we're still waiting on that, the details, the House settlement to come out hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, there will be, revenue sharing and things like that put over the NCAA. But when I'm reading the details of this Iowa State story and they're talking about there's no criminal charges, a couple of them don't even work there anymore. I'm just going back there going, okay. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? Like, I, and here's the problem with it for those of y'all that are like, this is not even an issue. I don't even know why they're, you know, being like, you don't want a situation where you have like an equipment staffer and let's just say like the medical guy comes in and he's like, hey man, need an extra knee brace for, you know, Mike Johnson for this weekend. He might not play, so we're going to try to test it out with a knee brace. All of a sudden the equipment staffer's like, oh, Mr. Bookie, hey, I need $5,000 on Iowa versus Iowa State. It's not something you want to see. Although I will say, Iowa and Iowa State have both been at the helm for a lot of these situations. But I don't know what Dave Archer's got to say about that. But it's,
well, I don't think he cares much about Iowa, but I'm sure he's not happy about this with Iowa State. But, I mean, it's Iowa, dude. What else the hell is there to do? Drink, gamble, and maybe procreate. I don't know.
I can't believe a guy from Dallas, Georgia, saying something like that. You know what I mean? Like we're not, you know, we're not exactly the worldwide leader in entertainment
out
there.
Hold on. We got like Dallas, Georgia got like, or Paulding County has like 2 Super Walmarts last time I checked.
Yeah.
And it's not like 12 below, so you can at least go outside and, you know,
that's
do
that's
something.
Actually a fair point.
You can go mudding in the wintertime, not, yeah, you know, go. I mean, they ice fish. Like I said, gamble, drink, procreate, and ice fish. I mean, what else are they going to do?
They do have the Iowa State Fair, which is huge. Like, people flock there from all over the country.
They got good short track racing up there.
I mean, that's like in September, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not year-round.
Yeah. I don't know. The old Midwest, man. I will say, and we're going to go to Allie for margaritas. I made a drive to Chicago one time and drove through West Lafayette, which is home of Purdue, and I was like, what? And I went to school in Tuscaloosa, so it's not like we're a booming, you know, metropolitan area or anything.
Right,
but
right.
Like I'm driving through West Lafayette, going, "What do y'all do around here for fun?" Nonetheless, but Allie, I think they could drink margaritas on a day like today.
They could drink margaritas on a day like today. Of course, we got to celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and let me preface that I'm an equal opportunity margarita fan. They're all beautiful.
Don't say Chili's. Like, just straight up. Like, do not. If you come in here with Chili's, I am going to lose my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you say it.
Don't they have the El Presidente?
Yeah, that's what equal opportunity. If she says on the border at any point in this, I will lose it.
Cut it. Cut my mic if that happens.
Dude.
No, they're all perfect in their own little way. And yes, like Mike, you mentioned, steak is probably going to come for me. Have some amendments to my list. But first, I want to start with Jalisco and Peachtree Battle. It's a standard Mexican restaurant. You know exactly what you're getting here. It does not disappoint. And if I remember right, there's a CVS pharmacy right next to it. So you can go ahead and get your Advil.
Go ahead. I was going to say, go ahead, knock it out, get you a liquid IV. And look, I think this is important to go – before we go any further, I think it's important to ask, how do you take your margarita? Is it just straight house, salt on the rim? My wife puts a jalapeno in there.
Ugh.
Like, yeah, I know, like, yeah,
skinny
Texas
skinny jalapeno margarita with tahini on the rim.
Skinny as in, like, the mixer is skinny or the actual tequila is skinny?
No, the mixer is skinny.
Because there is skinny tequila.
Yes,
and
there is.
I think it's absolutely horrendous. Like, absolutely. I know, God, I hope they never like reach out and want to sponsor the show, but it's like, it is the worst stuff you can possibly put in a glass.
I believe it's technically just lime juice, because one time I was out with my sister and we're like, can we get more of like the mix? And they just brought us limes.
Limes.
I'm like, oh, that's right.
Salty,
we ordered
limes.
Skinny.
Throw them in there. All right, so Jalisco, you said Peachtree Battle.
Yeah, Jalisco,
okay,
Peachtree Battle.
I don't think that I've ever been there. Now, yeah, I don't think I've ever been to Jalisco. Yeah. I don't know, man. You have to think back sometimes. You know, you guys are locals. You've lived here a long time. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't know. Is it Jalisco? Is that Taxco? No, that's not the same place. You're like, I don't know. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Continue.
All right. Next on the list, and I'm sure you've been to one of these, La Paria.
Oh,
they
dude.
Have locations
yes.
all over Atlanta. If you are looking for a party today, La Paria does it. I mean, they're going to have a DJ, mm-hmm. live music, all of that going on. I used to host those parties at La Paria on
Did
Cinco
you?
De Mayo. So.
Yeah.
And I love, if you want to avoid a headache with them, get their Texas margarita. Uses a little bit upscale
yeah.
tequila
oh, yeah. there
in that
you go.
One.
So this is, in Boca and vibe with this, this is the exact place that I'm talking about when my wife's like, I need a jalapeno. There's a La Paria they built right by the Mercedes headquarters up in Sandy Springs near mm-hmm. my house. Dude, we tear that place up. Tear that place up.
Yeah, I mean, my spot, y'all know my spot.
He's wearing a Cancun hat this morning.
I am wearing a Cancun hat. That's, to me, where the best margarita is. But, you know, I digress. But, yeah, La Paria's, they're everywhere. And they've been a staple. I mean, Allie knows this growing up in the metro area. I mean, there's one in every town. Multiple ones in every town. We got one down the road.
Yeah, they are everywhere. Another one you need to hit up if you're looking for a great margarita today is Bar Taco. They have a great selection of margaritas from watermelon to pineapple, or if you want to feel healthy while getting a little bit of a booze on, they have a green juice margarita as well. So you can get healthy while you're getting a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, I will say, shout out and pour one out this afternoon, because the one in West Midtown, I believe, is shutting up shop,
no.
which is unfortunate. Although West Midtown struggled with some places like this, but you can still hit the one right there in Buckhead, across from like Johnny's Hideaway and all
yeah,
that. So they're all over the place.
That's a good spot.
It is.
I used to live right down the road from that. Never got. I don't want anything like that in my margarita, though. I mean, that's gonna. I mean, I don't. That's that. There might be a stench coming out of that restaurant by the time I leave.
Yeah.
Goodness.
All right. All right.
TMI.
Move on.
All right. We'll move on to Super Rica. It's an Atlanta favorite. You can find one at the Battery, Krog, whatever the location. Yeah. This is an Atlanta favorite for a reason. The chips are undeniable. And you can't go wrong with their OG margarita or the five spice.
Phenomenal spot. Parenting hack. If any of you guys live in the perimeter area, there is a Super Rica perimeter that has, there's like four or five restaurants, and there's like a turf lawn in between, where on like Fridays in the afternoons, people just start showing up at like 3 o'clock and mm-hmm. their kids are going ballistic for about 3 hours
so
as their parents
smart.
Just sit on the patios surrounding this and just pound out margarita. There's a hobnob right there. Yeah, it's phenomenal, but I'm all on board with Super Ricas.
That is brilliant planning on that one. Okay, for my number one,
okay.
I've chosen, drum roll. Verde Taqueria in Brookhaven.
Oh, yeah.
It has a soft place in my heart because this was my spot for years. And they have all kinds of Tex-Mex tacos, calamari tacos. But my absolute favorite, as I mentioned before, the jalapeno margarita. And I'm not saying, but I'm saying if you sit at the bar, they might give you free samples of
Ooh,
shots up there.
They're very friendly.
I've actually never had the margaritas from Verde Taqueria, but I have had their tacos. Mona, I've been there a couple of times. The Dirty Bird taco. Absolutely amazing.
So good.
I love it. I have to try one of the margs now.
Is that the place over there where the LA Fitness and everything and the Costco is?
No, this one's on Dresden, right?
Dresden,
yeah,
by
right
Kaleidoscope. And
oh, yeah. I've been there.
It's right there by J.R. Christopher's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kaleidoscope. We used to go there. Like, yeah, I've been to that place a couple times. All those places run together for me, like the names of them. But, yeah, that place is pretty good.
Nice.
I don't know about the margaritas. I just normally got Dos Equis or whatever there.
The place you're talking about was at one point a Noche, and now I think it's a Red Pepper, the one you're talking about
yeah.
in town, Brookhaven.
Yeah.
Right there. It used to be, I used to live there. It used to be across from Smash Kitchen. Dylan knows what I'm talking about.
That's the guy that got that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That guy owned all those restaurants, and now he doesn't.
Yes. Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
Man,
yeah.
Red
No, I'm not
going
to go there. I'm just.
Red Pepper's so solid. I used to go to the one off Druid Hills all the time, man.
I mean, anywhere you're getting a margarita today, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I completely agree. As a matter of fact, if you guys have a spot that we did not name or Allie did not come up with, make sure you hit us up with that on the socials at 929 Morning Shift.
Just tell us where your favorite margarita is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Tell us where you like to go or where you might be celebrating today. Maybe it's at home. Maybe you're like, nobody can handle my own margaritas built at my house.
Yeah, remember, every answer is wrong except for Cancun's.
Where they have to go up there and get the Squidbilly special.
That's right.
I met a guy over the weekend that lived up near into the woods, man. He had a lot of fun things to say about the old Woodstock, man. So, anyways, we have to go to break, man. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on this Cinco de Mayo. Hey, we come back. Braylon Trice. He's a name that we've all heard and nobody has seen play very much. Stick with us. We'll talk about the plans for Braylon Trice and just what we can expect for him going into year two It's the morning shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game.